Hey there, just a heads up, this podcast is for grown-ups only. We're talking about adult stuff, think spicy language, mature themes, and topics your grandma might raise an eyebrow at. So if you're under 18, come back when you're older. For everyone else, enjoy the ride.
Welcome to Hacking Love, deepening commitment through open relationships. I'm Aiden.
And I'm Anna. We created this podcast to explore the transformative power of ethical non-monogamy and how it can deepen connections in modern relationships.
We've been through it all, divorce, heartbreak, and figuring out what real commitment looks like. Now we're here to share our journey and the lessons we've learned along the way.
Whether you're experienced in open relationships or just curious, we want this to be a space where we can dive into real conversation about everything from swinging to polyamory.
We'll talk candidly about jealousy, desire, emotional growth, and radical honesty. Basically, everything that comes up when you step outside the conventional rules of love.
And if you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you could take a moment to leave us a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to. It really helps us reach more people.
Absolutely. And we'd also love to hear from you. Our contact info is in the show notes, so feel free to reach out with your thoughts and questions. We'll definitely get back to you.
So let's dive in. It's time to hack love and discover what truly authentic connections look like. Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back. Wanted to say on the outset here, if you like what you hear on our podcast, we would love to get some reviews. I don't think we have that many yet. If you have a 5-star review for us, please leave it. If you don't, keep moving. But again, we don't know what we're doing with this thing. We don't promote it. We're seeing a lot of activity, which is awesome. And we're actually getting emails now. So if you want to email us, reach out, ask us any questions, we'll definitely respond. Probably a longer response than you want. As we love doing this, hit us up in the show notes with our email address and we'll definitely get back to you.
Yes. All right. So what are we talking about today?
Since we last did our last episode.
Yeah. Where did we leave it?
We left it at, it was the roundup on the play session we had with our new Superman and Wonder Woman.
And we talked about it went well, but then we didn't hear from them.
Yeah. That's where we left it, is that we heard from them, but they were just very short. And then the party this weekend was for him.
And oh, yeah.
You weren't able to make it, but I was able to go. I actually DJed at it. He had to invite me because I was DJing. he couldn't disinvite me, which he wouldn't have done. He's
no,
also a business
y'all are
friend.
Good friends.
Yeah, he's a
anyway.
Friend. He's a business friend. But it was just the response we got after was like, oh, yeah, you guys are great. One of those things.
No, but we got nothing on the Telegram.
Yeah, it was just like a, okay, yeah, it was great too. But nothing really. Usually, if you've had a good experience with someone, you're going to say, oh, my God, you guys are amazing. We can't wait to see you again. And they didn't do that. So we were wondering and
last no, it was literally, we had a great time. Both you said it or I said it, then you said it. And we had crickets from them.
Yeah.
And then the conversation just picked up a few days later about other stuff.
Yeah.
But she and I, in the meantime, had texted and you and he had texted in the meantime.
Yes.
But there was no response on the 4-week chat. So we were like, did something go wrong? Oh,
yeah.
We're not sure.
And so if you want to learn about that, you can go to the last episode.
You can learn in the last episode. Again. But we were like, we're not going to overthink it because you were going to this party and you were going to talk to him, but I guess it turned out to not be necessary.
Yeah, I think it's because I think we've decided we didn't really want to play with him again just for other reasons.
Yeah.
And we just moved on and it's fine. And we're all friends and it's no big deal.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. And we had a great time at the party and they were asking about you. And
aww.
So it's just like they're friends that we haven't slept with, which is fine.
It was really fun. You and I were texting and we even did a video call at one point during the party. I was off at this work retreat. And it was so funny because I was with my roommate at the work retreat and I was like FaceTiming you and it was like you and Wonder Woman and y'all looked so cute and we're having so much fun. And I was checking out her outfit and telling her she looked cute. And my roommate was just like, y'all just seem to have the best relationship and it was just so much fun. You're like teenagers talking on the phone. I'm like, you don't know that half of it. Because at that point I was like, you are about to go to a massive play session afterwards.
So the plan for the party was, it was a crazy fun party. And there were 3 DJs there. I was the second. And at the end of the night, they had a play party scheduled for those who wanted to stay. And that was at midnight. So I stuck around for that just to see what was happening. So what shall we do? So we talk about the party?
Yes.
There's not much more to say. It was a great party. And that was themed, a weirdo theme or a hippie theme, let's say. And which was great. And they had like ceremonies. And it was woo-woo and a little bit hippie. But really fun. And I definitely brought the fire with my set. I thought I did really well that night.
Of course you did.
And I got a lot of great feedback. So that's all I work for in DJing. I want great feedback that I crushed it. I killed it. That's what I want to hear.
And the
ladies were loving it, and it was a great time. They had a lot of beautiful people there, and it was probably about 50, 60 people. And yeah, my promise to you was that I would give you the play-by-play each hour or so. And at some point, I was feeling pretty good, though, so I might have dropped off on that. I was having a good time. And so during the party, I'm up there playing, and old Superman and Wonder Woman.
So you guys remember from, I can't remember which episode, this was a couple that we hooked up at one of the pool parties, and we have been friends with and like them. They're like super picky swingers like we are. And they had kind of ghosted and just fallen off all communication. And we were like, okay, we don't take things personally. We just move on.
Whatever. But we did think it was something about us. Here's the thing about when people stop communicating with you after you've played with them, we didn't really go all the way with them, but
yeah, no, we didn't.
But when people stop communicating with you, you start to look inward. Was it me? Was it something I said? You did this in the last episode with new Superman Wonder Woman. And you start to doubt, did I say something? Did something go wrong in our session? You start to really question yourself. And there's so many reasons why that could have happened.
Yeah.
Or why they might not be talking to you. And what I've learned, and I think we were talking about this, is you just really just can't second guess yourself. I'm confident enough to know I'm great. I've always got you at the end of the night, so I really 100%. Don't care. And other people's expectations or disappointments really aren't my problem.
Yeah.
I do my best, and I'm always a good person and a good friend to people. So that's really all I can hope for. But that is something a lot of people come across in the lifestyle, because you can have really high expectations going into a play session. You could be really excited about it. You could be, man, I'm going to do this and that, and I think she wants this, or I think he wants that.
Yeah.
And at the end of the night, it might not just go the way you planned. In fact, we talked about expectations last time. The result is almost always different from your expectations.
100%.
Old Superman and Wonder Woman walk in the door, and they come up and start talking to me while I'm playing. And the first thing he tells us is, hey, we've been going through a lot, Rand. We've got all this stuff going on at home, and we feel really bad we haven't reached out to you guys. I'm like, yeah. He goes, we thought, oh my gosh, they're going to think it's them. I was like, yeah, we did. I was basically direct with him, and I was like, but you know what I told him? I said, whenever you're ready, let's get back. Because he was like, oh, we're ready. All those thoughts and musings we went through and thinking about it and analyzing.
He said
we're ready to see you again.
Oh, okay.
Because I said, hey, whenever you're ready, we'll be here. He goes, oh, we're ready.
Oh, okay.
And then she was just a doll. She was there with him.
She seemed like she was down. She was down for Aiden.
We were standing there chatting, and she was putting her hand on my head. They were definitely hand gestures. And they basically just said, we're sorry. We really cut everyone off for a period of time because we just going through some stuff with family at home.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, we're only one message away. And I know we thought, oh, we should reach out to them. I was like, yeah, you should have. But I was just giving them shit. I wasn't like making them feel bad or anything. But I was like, hey, whenever you're ready.
It's like when you get embarrassed when bad things happen in your life and you're like, oh, and you just pull it in. I think that's basically what happened.
Yeah. But see, for me, like you actually explained that you empathize with that.
I totally do.
I would probably go isolate too and just not talk to anyone.
I would.
I, on the other hand, would just make sure they knew that it wasn't them.
You are so good about reaching out and being upfront and honest about your communications.
It's just the way you react.
You're really good at communicating.
Yeah. I don't like leaving loose ends like that.
That's really smart.
But they didn't mind.
So. They didn't mind. But hopefully they will do better in the future and know they can talk to us, because we don't care.
Yeah. No,
we
want to
support
great.
Our friends, whether we're sleeping with them or not. I had so much fun with them just basically soft swapping at the pool. That was that was the most fun I've ever had in a play session.
Wow.
Like,
even more than the full play session you had with
100%.
Yes. Oh wow. Because why? Because it was just flirting hotter. And hot. Yeah.
It was just hotter.
Interesting.
Like, more, I love kissing. I love all it. And like, it's just safer too. Like, it's just not so much just random risk.
So I hung out with them most of the night, and then we went to the Red Room where they had set up a whole playroom for anyone that wanted to be up there.
Oh yeah, describe.
We walk in and there's at least six couples going at it, like they're moaning and the pumping and the
wow,
yeah, and they were switching off with each other. It was a total
birthday
orgy.
Boy.
Yeah, his birthday boy was there with his girlfriend, and they were with a couple. And
that's the one we were with a week ago or whatever.
Yeah. Same ones we were with.
Yeah,
who really haven't said much about our session. We're getting it on in the playroom.
Yes, with a bunch of other people.
With a bunch of other people, so was fine. We had been talking that night. There was no weirdness, no awkwardness.
No, in fact, and that's what I was thinking when we were talking that night. I was like, it seems like everything's fine with us. It just seems, and there's no need to make a thing out of it by asking them.
Yeah.
It just seems like mutually we're probably like, not going to do that again.
Yeah, and I think we came to that same conclusion ourselves for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think the lesson for anyone listening is you don't know how things are going to go.
No.
You really shouldn't take things personally. Uh-uh. If something doesn't perform or doesn't make it, I think most people will understand that.
Totally.
If they're good people, which is hopefully who you're selecting. And you can still just blow it off and still be friends. And it's funny because in the real dating world, if something goes odd with a single that you're with, yeah, it could get weird because there's all these expectations totally. Of like, where are we going with this? Or even just like in dating, there's always the prospect of moving up the escalator to date that person longer, 3 months, 6 months, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not just like out there just having casual sex, but if you're actually dating, single, looking for a partner, things could get weird with that if you slept with them and just it was all just fine afterwards, or they didn't call you.
Like,
different
okay.
level of emotional attachment. But I've got you,
yeah,
and I don't care.
And that's the way it is with the vast majority of the people in our group. Everybody's coupled up or married except for hot girl, and it's a very different vibe because you're not like
You're not dependent on them.
No, you're not looking for that. It's just a fun hobby.
Yeah.
It's not like you're like
staking
everything on it. Like I already have my family. Like I already have my person.
And you're not staking all of your hopes and dreams on
not
one couple.
Not at all.
I'm sure some people get there are true breakups in lifestyle where couples break up with each
other. Yeah, if they've gotten more poly.
Yeah, that. Actually. But even if swingers, like, they see each other for a long time and it fizzles out. Like,
yeah.
What happened to us? I thought we were great. You guys, we were all a four-way connection. We made it work.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just new relationship. NRE drops off.
Yeah.
You might just have different reasons for letting it die. And that happens all the time, especially on the more swinging side, because it's not really meant to be forever.
Yeah.
And
there's
like
a real continuum in swinging from the just one-night stand big group thing to more regular. I personally am on the side of more. I'd rather find a nice hot couple who that's all the only people we play with and we just see them like once a month, and that would be great for me because I just don't love all this. The numbers game on this seems real spicy to me as far as risk. I just don't love it.
And that's your preference.
Yeah.
And I think that's also kind of pie in the sky. Because of what I just said.
I know.
Yeah. It's hard to find that. And then to keep something going that a long time with someone, I think that might be even more difficult.
100%, which is why it's probably going to end up being separate eventually.
That's what you think.
That's what I think.
That's your preference. Again,
I just think it's easier.
Yeah. It's easier, but is it what we want as a couple?
I don't know, actually. That's maybe that leads us to our next topic. So we got engaged a few weeks ago, and which is just...
Us forever.
Beautiful. Okay. Us forever. Exactly. But so it's, I've been talking to this single guy in field. And
why is that?
And because you have single girl, the hot girl.
I don't have hot girl at all.
Hot
We've
girl.
Not communicated.
You're able, you have a, I opened up single men on field because I was feeling like if you're going to have a single woman available to you at parties, I want a single man available to me.
It was your original reasoning.
It felt unfair. And if, because everybody else is partnered up, so she's probably looking for her main person, so she would want to steal you.
Just likes couples.
She just...
That's what I was told.
What else?
She doesn't want to steal anybody.
Of course
Especially
she does.
Especially me.
Why wouldn't she want to steal you?
I've had five words with a woman.
You're amazing. Of course she wants to.
You're living in a dreamland.
No, I'm not. So I was just... Anyway, this is my thought process. Go back and listen to the Hot Girl episode. You'll understand my madness. And so I was like, all right, this will help me a lot. And it did. I was like, all right, I found this like seemingly really nice guy and I've been chatting with him on Telegram and we were going to see each other, try to get together for a coffee or something this week, but I've been traveling and I'm exhausted and I have not reached out to him and he hasn't been very pushy at all. So I haven't heard from him either. So I think it's going to be up to me. But I also realized like, I feel like now that we're engaged, like it just feels weird to just go out with some single guy just because...
Just why does the engagement make a difference in that?
I don't know. It just makes me feel like I'm doing something bad.
But I thought that's what you like.
I know it is.
Naughty girl.
Yes, but I don't know. It just feels, is this just stupid? Like, because I feel two ways about it. Like one is like, this is just so stupid because I'm not interested in anybody but you right now, especially. And so this is just an exercise and seeing if I could have the nerve to do this and what would happen and getting a story out of it. And then the other side is, oh my God, we're engaged. Is he going to become bored with me? And I need to be exciting and do stupid shit like this and then have stories.
I would say writ large, that's why we're in the lifestyle.
It is.
Because it keeps things spicy.
It does.
And it keeps things interesting.
It does.
It turns me on a little bit. Also, it scares me a little bit, which is a good place for me to be in.
Same.
And then for you, same thing. But like in this case, it's maybe it's aged a little bit since you first reached out to him, because it was right after the hot girl thing.
Uh-huh.
And you guys haven't really been communicating that much. But I still think you should do it.
How do you really feel about it? Does it make you...
It does what it should do, which is keeps you going, huh? What's going on?
What's going on?
That's really the point. Yeah. And also to see you do it for yourself. It's not about me. And I think even though we're engaged now, it's not really about me. I think it's about you expressing yourself, getting out there, pushing the envelope a little bit. And if it worked out, then we'd have a whole other conversation. Let's say you go to coffee with a guy and mm-hmm. you're like, wow, I really like this guy. And you come back and talk about it. And then, of course, we'll probably fuck. And then I'll get really turned on. Then I'll get really worried about it. And then I'll get turned on again. And then I'll consider an MFM and see if he's okay with that. And then maybe ultimately it could be like a date that you go, maybe our next level is, okay, why don't you go out with him and see how that goes? And why don't you go fuck him and see how that goes?
Oh my God. Yeah. Right.
Your head's not there yet. Apparently.
No, it's just, I don't know. That's just, I know I like more one-on-one connections. I know I'm not into groups. I know that I find the four-way connection hard, so that does go toward that. But then I'm just like, it's just stupid. Am I just playing with fire? But I guess as long as we're in it together and you're okay, that we're both playing with fire a little bit and just...
Definitely playing with fire.
Like,
but not a fire
but it's
that
not
would
gonna,
burn us out.
I know, because we're always
the fire
good.
Fire would be that, hey, something happened. I felt a certain way. Let's talk about it. And that just ultimately
That's
brings
the
us closer
worst.
Anyway.
I agree. I totally agree. So I could do. I want to see what I would do on my own in that kind of a situation.
Why is that?
I don't know. The idea.
Does it feel sneaky?
No. In fact, so I'm curious as to what I would do, because I would want to record it so you could hear it. Like, what would I do? How do I act as an engaged but dating person? That's a whole new thing.
It is a whole new thing.
Right? So yeah. I'd be talking about us. Mm-hmm. I'd be talking about what the lifestyle means for us, how we operate in it, what our values are. I'd be more representing us as a couple and seeing what he's like and if his values align with that.
So if they do, and you're like, okay, I really like this guy. Then you come home and you say, hey, I really like this guy. And I'd say, okay, I want to meet him too.
Yeah.
I was listening to Evolving Love today, and they said their first separate date was they were at a bar in Brooklyn, I think it was.
Mm.
And somebody had set them up with this guy, and he walks in and he's like everything she dreamed.
Oh, like, yes. I've heard
and
that
she,
one.
And she was like, oh my God, this beautiful man walks in. And he was like, okay. But he was there to meet with him.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, maybe we should do that. I don't know. I talked about, hey, I want to be there too.
I know.
But I think in this circumstance, with the way you want to approach it, I think it's better if you go on your own. I'm not threatened by you going on your own. I think it's actually cool to hear what your reaction is. And I want you to be like as natural as you can be without mm-hmm. worrying about what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
We have met with an individual male before, and I thought that went pretty well.
It was fine. I just felt a little bit like we were hiring a male prostitute.
Yeah. He was like a general bull. That's what he did, was threesomes with
like,
couples.
And I couldn't pinpoint what was making me not quite there.
Was it me being there?
I think it was almost like I felt like you were interviewing him to fuck your woman. And I wasn't involved.
I think we were just there to get to know him.
And I know. It just felt weird. Like I was being... traded or something, or it just didn't feel very empowering.
That's there you go. Answer then. If I'm there and it takes your power away, then I probably shouldn't be there in the first date. Now, I definitely want to meet him before you were to hook up with him.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's a trust thing, and it's like, yeah. You know, the guy's cool, and maybe you missed something that I might find. And
yeah.
If I clearly didn't like him, I'd probably pull a veto.
Yes.
But,
and you have good instinct, so I would listen to that. And honestly, I think... we probably would have very similar instincts.
I think, of course, I trust you.
I'll probably veto him before
right?
you will.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
But I would trust your judgment for sure. But I might be like, oh, maybe you missed this red flag because you were like nervous or in the middle of it.
No,
or
and you
taken
get that.
By something else where you're just like, but I think that's a very small probability. I think it would, if you liked him, I'd probably like him too, because I think it was cool, because we think the same way. We have the same
values.
And then it would be like, You want to do couples?
How do you? Yeah, I'm like, so that's the next question is, what questions should I ask him? Obviously, I want to know what his history is with the lifestyle and an ethical non-monogamy. Like, how many years, like, has he been in it? Is he, does he understand what it is?
I think on a previous episode, we talked about him, and I think it's pretty clear he's not been in it very long. He's recently divorced or recently separated.
Yeah, he's never been married.
And he seems to be just, like, putting his feelers out as a new single man.
Yeah.
Which might be fine. I don't see a problem with that, but I would prefer someone who gets it and knows what they're doing and understands how the lifestyle works and how it works with people.
Somebody who really gets the values of the lifestyle, which tends to be usually like couple centric, I guess, a little bit, where we're prioritizing us. Mm-hmm. And so we wouldn't be looking for somebody who, like, when we look at profiles, if somebody is looking for a long-term relationship or something, like, that's probably not somebody that would be a good fit for us, because we're not looking for, like, a polycule or...
Right.
I'm not looking for another long-term boyfriend. You're not looking for another long-term girlfriend, that kind of thing. We're just more looking for friends with benefits, I think. Mm-hmm. Feels more like us. It's not just one-night stands. We do want to get to know people, but, like, other couples...
We could take this to the next level, which is, okay, let's just go through the scenario here. And there's so many scenarios that could come
out. I know.
But let's say, okay, you meet him for coffee. Oh, I really like this guy.
Yeah.
You come back and tell me, I meet him. I'm like, yeah, he's cool. You guys go on a date. You hook up. Okay. You really like each other.
Okay.
Then what?
I think
he wants to see you again. You want to see him again. Then what? There's an end point somewhere.
And I think we talked about this maybe last week. I feel like it's really good for us to talk about this stuff because it forces issues. Even if we really liked each other, there is this governor that I have now at 51 with all the experience that I have. And with all of the history you and I have and all of the work we have put in to our relationship to build it to this amazing point where we have so much love and trust for each other and so much fun with each other. There is just this wisdom that I have now of knowing what that is. I've seen this guy twice and I'm like, oh my God, I'm in love. That's not going to happen. It's just not, I can't describe it. Like, I would know what it is and what it isn't. And I would tell you exactly what I was feeling. And put it in its place. And then we would just decide together what to do. Like, nobody is going to replace you.
Yeah, and that's not really what I'm asking.
Okay.
It's more of a, okay, so what do you do at the point where it's fireworks?
Okay.
It's very possible. And it's fireworks and he wants to see you again. He's in your back channel texts. And he's flirting with you and you're flirting with him and it's fun and it's NRE. How does that develop? What is that end game? Is it okay, now we're poly and you've got this boyfriend on the side? Because there, that is one path. Yeah. The other path is you see him once, don't want to see him again, or you do want to see him again, but you don't. Like,
yeah,
there, we have to think about the ultimate. I'm not saying I'm against any of it. I don't know how it would feel in that. I might get, where's our time going now?
And like, no, 100%.
Or you see him once a month, or what? And how does that affect us? Those are the kinds of questions that come up. It's not really out of jealousy. It's more of like practicality. Like,
I happened. Agree. That's how I see it too. I totally get what you're saying. It's not a jealousy thing. It's literally we've worked so hard. Like, how do we take care of our relationship?
And how do we make sure? Care of our relationship?
Yeah. Is it serving us?
Yeah.
Is it, okay, I see this guy once a month and it makes us, our relationship even more spicy. And I'm not going to be texting him all day. That's not going to happen. And when I do text him, I would just get you on the text thread or I'd just show you the stuff every night. We've done a really good job of keeping everything above board and open.
Transparent.
And transparent. And I always want it to be that way. And if it gets too complicated or is just not happening, or if he seems to want more than I'm able to give, then I think that's my opportunity to learn how to be direct. Mm-hmm. And say this is... But like he's...
But isn't there a chance that he could make you feel a certain way? Any guy. No, I'm just saying this guy, but any guy. That can make you feel good and valued and wanted and all those things and sexy. And it's just another guy.
sure. I guess that may have worked in my 20s or even my 30s, where I needed that ego boost from just collecting the affection of multiple men. Mm-hmm. I've outgrown that. I know how shallow that is. It's nice. I'm not going to say it's not nice. It's like when girls flirt with you. Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice, but you're not like, oh, I'm such a badass now. I'm the best. Now I can go get anybody. All these women want me now, so I'm ditching her. That's really immature behavior and thought patterns.
That's not where we're at.
No, it's not at all. I feel like I'm able to put things in their place, which is why I'm not texting him right now. And I haven't been texting him this week because I just haven't wanted to. I've wanted to focus on you because I haven't seen you because I've been traveling so much. And it just didn't seem very important. It seemed silly.
Right.
And I wanted to talk to you about it and see if you thought it was also very silly or if it was going to hurt your feelings or if it was something.
We already agreed you're going to reach out to him and have coffee with him.
Like, or if that was still like saying that.
I'm still in the same frame of mind I was in.
Yeah.
I'm always thinking down the road and the decision trees that lead to certain things. And I don't even see it as a threat is what I'm saying. I feel like maybe you haven't thought about what are the likely outcomes. Like, where does something like this go? Let's say if everything is full cylinder.
Yeah.
And it may go somewhere great. I may be at the point where I'm like, yeah, okay, maybe I go talk to some girls and see if that's something I would want to do, which I really don't. But it's just another form of us, some new space we're in, which we're finding ourselves in all the time.
I know.
So it's not coming from jealousy or even fear. I don't have that. Especially now we're engaged. I got you snagged now.
Yeah.
But it's more, what will we do?
Yeah. How would our relationship
change
and morph? We wouldn't separate. We would stay together. But how would we change to accommodate it if that was the case? That he was somebody I wanted to see more often. But here's the thing. Here's the way that I go about taking care of our relationship. This is how I just am out in the world. When I'm with you and when I'm without you. Because we're together. You are always with me. You're always in my thoughts.
Same.
And I'm always talking about you. And I'm always talking about us. And that's part of who I am. It's not all of who I am. Obviously, I have other parts of me. Mm-hmm. But if I'm out with some guy and he's asking about my life, he's going to hear about you and a lot about us and how we are as a couple.
And see, a lifestyle person would understand that.
Exactly.
And a non-lifestyle person would be like, why is she keep talking about this guy?
Would be turned off by it. So yeah, that's going to be a test. And so that's a green flag for a lifestyle person. Yeah. You want to be with a couple that's solid, that takes care of each other, that prioritizes each other. That means no drama. That means green light for fun and no worries. And so that's what he's going to get at the coffee. And so I just think
that
immediately sets boundaries. Mm-hmm. I feel like
that's a good point.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Here's where we are. And we're like crazy solid, like a rock. And this is what we've been doing for fun. And we just think it is crazy and wild, and if not now, when? And we love meeting the people in it, and you're one of them, and we want to learn more about you. And then I just listen to him and see where he's coming from, and I'll know pretty quickly, right? If he's
50% off the bat, you won't like him at all.
I know.
Like, that's your selectivity.
So right. You're so right.
But then if you do, and you're really good at making friends, and you tend to like people when you connect with them.
Yeah.
So even if the attractiveness isn't there, you still may like him if he's a good guy. And
yeah.
And you like what he says. And you also like if they flirt a little bit and they're into you. And
yeah.
Yeah, that could make up for that. But
there's a fine line. The Superman, Wonder Woman, both of them, the guys in both of those couples, they're real flirty with me, but they're very respectful of you and us. And that's what we're looking 100%. For, whether it's a single guy or not. And so
they're friends.
They are friends.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I'm curious about it, but I'm not going to go in there and pretend I'm some single girl and just.
You know what? The fact that you're curious about it means we should do it. Because let's be curious, right? Let's see how this happens. We're so solid. I'm not worried about like any replacement or anything like that. It's more of a, I just see you growing so much in this. And like last week, we talked about you stating what was on your mind to someone, to saying things that you would not have said before because you're being more direct, because you feel more empowered.
Yeah.
And in this case, this is you going, okay, I'm going to do this on my own, see how this goes. And you're not going to worry about me, or you're going to work beyond fear and beyond, oh, I'm going to fuck this up with Aiden and playing with fire. Clearly, if I green light it, I'm like, okay, go do it. Then I have only myself to blame if something goes wrong. I can blame you a little bit.
Oh, God.
But I think, yeah, if you're curious, let's do it. If not now, when, right?
Yeah.
That's our favorite mantra, by the way. If not now, when?
If not now, when? Because look, like, we're just getting older. Listen to some of these other podcasters that are now in their 60s, and some of them aren't playing at all anymore. Some of them have lost sexual function. Now is the time. That's where I was like, okay, whatever you need to do, since you're not attracted to very many people either, even if hot girl's single, if you can make that happen, you're attracted to her. I shouldn't stand in the way of that. And we could experiment. And then if it just feels weird or we can't figure out a way to structure it, I have a hard time feeling like this would be somebody I would be like going on regular dates with.
It may not be him. It may be down the road, especially if we keep talking to single men.
I don't know. Yeah.
One of them's going to hit. If we do it enough.
I have single men off right now, but the next time we go to a thing and hot girls there, I'll probably have to turn it back
on. You mean on the app?
My insecurities. Yeah, I'll turn it back
single
on.
Single men on the app.
On the
single
app.
Men off the app.
And I know.
You can switch it on or off so that, you know, they either search for you and can find you or not. And whenever Anna gets jealous or insecure, she fires it up.
It works. It's very petty and very insecure, but it definitely works. Gets you some dopamine hits. So you feel like, all right, I can even this up if I need to.
I think you should text him tonight.
Ah, okay. Oh, my God.
And make this coffee happen. I'm curious to see what happens, too.
Yeah.
And maybe I'm being really nonchalant now. Maybe that'll change, but I think I'm okay with it. And I'm just curious as to what you come back with and how you react. And then,
I am, too. What I'm most excited about is afterwards and talking to you about it. That is what excites me the most.
And not getting railed by some big new dude.
Not at all. Not at all. It's really, that is the most interesting part. It's like you going and having adventures and telling me about it later. I love that. It's our interaction.
It's our interaction that you really like.
That turns me on the most, that makes me so fascinated and interested and excited about the lifestyle. It's that part. That's what I've figured out. It's not the actual, but it's if we don't go and push boundaries and do the random things that always end up being weird or sometimes fun, off, whatever it is, then we don't have the discussions about it.
That's
and
a good point.
I love all that so much.
Yeah.
It's like,
and we wouldn't have podcast episodes.
We wouldn't, honestly. And I feel like we just learn a lot about each other and ourselves. And
we always do.
I feel like at this point in my life, that's what it's all about. I want to get to know myself better, get to know you better. And I am so committed to this being the best marriage ever.
And it will be.
Like the most fun, the most loving, the sexiest, the healthiest, all the best things. That is my number one goal for the rest of my life. Nothing is more important to me than this.
Ditto. Okay, so now you're going to see this guy.
So what are you going to do on your date now that you prioritize us so much?
Yeah, exactly.
So by your logic, this going on this date is really the top.
See how she did that?
Top
twisted
wave.
That shit around.
Prioritize.
Yeah, you're the most important thing. So anyway, we're going to see this guy next week.
Oh my God.
Okay, so next topic, what do we have? That's good. Now that I think we settled that. You're texting him and I. We're going to see what happens.
Funny as fuck. Oh my God. Yes, lifestyle is weird this way, you guys. You're doing crazy shit with other people to strengthen your relationship.
Which
the
is
name
true.
Of that's the podcast the... is fucking love. Yes. Deepening connection through open. I think that's what it says. Oh my God, you guys. I'm a mess. Okay, so we talked about the party. We've reconnected with the other couple, which I'm excited about because they don't play very often either. Hopefully we'll get to see them.
Yeah, and I really like her.
She
is just my perfect type.
And he's my perfect type too. Except for he's not bald. So.
They've been the golden couple since we met them.
Yeah, for sure.
And for them to come back around just really makes us happy.
Definitely.
And so we'll see them hopefully soon.
For sure. I know. Did you see their invite for this weekend?
No.
It was like a kid-related thing, which I was like, I don't know, man. But who knows? We can talk about it. But I think you've got that other concert thing, so who knows? And then this is another kind of random topic that we had. So when you are it's really tricky deciding who to come out to when you are practicing non-monogamy. And so we have a group of kind of raver friends that we have come out to who are 99% completely don't care and are the safest, most accepting people.
Yeah. And these are old friends of mine, 100%. Generally. They've come to love you. And
they're amazing.
They're super open-minded. They're weirdos like me. And we told them because we knew they'd be cool with it.
Yeah.
At least I told them I knew they'd be cool with it.
100%.
I didn't really have your green light on that.
But it's so funny. Oh, it's fine. We have the same mind, so it's fine. But one of them, her fiance, is just this super goofy guy. He is everyman America in a lot of ways. Like, from small town.
Kind of a hick.
Yeah. And so he, oh my God, bless his heart. Okay.
He's a sweet guy.
He really is. So when he heard, he immediately, and this is common, you'll find, especially with women, is guys who are not in the lifestyle or not in ethical non-monogamy, if they find out you're open, they think that you're available.
Open to everyone. Right.
And that you'll do it with anybody, which is, of course, not the case. I am extremely picky. And so he just has now, the latest thread, because we're getting together with them this weekend, he's just going off about,
can't wait to see Anna. That's what he keeps saying in the thread. Uh-huh. And he's making little jokes and little flirtations.
He would never have done before. Right. Never.
And it bothers me. It bothered me the first night that we told him, because he was like flirting with you in a weird way. And he was being all like,
he was creeping on me physically.
He was creeping, but not in a, we know him, so it's not creepy. But no. He was creeping. And I was getting really annoyed. And I was like, dude, because I thought it was disrespectful. I thought it was disrespectful to me and you.
Yeah.
And I'm about to tell him to shut the fuck up and stop it.
Yeah. We might just have to sit him down and say, hey, so this is how it is. You know how if you have a gay friend who comes out and tells you they're gay, that doesn't mean that he wants to have sex with you, right? So it's the same thing with people who come out as non-monogamous. It doesn't mean that we're open to fucking everybody. And so...
then we're clearly not open to fucking many people at all.
Not at all. It's
like, we don't like people in the lifestyle who we're like dating.
Very so, few interesting stories for you guys.
Definitely not fucking him and his girlfriend.
All of our interesting stories are all in our heads. About the emotional things we're going through and jealousy and keeping our relationship solid and all of that.
But that is a consequence of... These are the only people we've come out to.
Yeah.
And we love them all.
Yes. Excuse me.
And they're totally accepting of anything, and they were.
Yes.
But he's not getting it. And, and he's trying to be funny in a way, and it's just annoying me.
And I was thinking about, what is his fiance thinking? Because she's on the same thread. She's actually probably doesn't care. She's got that personality who's just a little bit like, I don't see her ever getting jealous, honestly. But at the same time, I don't know.
I think she's probably more annoyed, too. I can see her being annoyed by it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I'm going to see them Saturday. You're going to see them, too, right? You're not going to the show, but you're going to see them.
I'll come over. Okay. I know.
If he pulls this stuff, I may say, friend, you need to shut your man down on that, because that's not cool. I don't know. I don't want to get weird on it, but
I know.
It's annoying me enough to want to say something.
We'll play it by ear. Maybe I'll say, I don't know.
Why is it annoying me?
Because it's just disrespectful, right? Yeah. It is disrespectful to both of us.
Yeah, and it's like almost making fun of us in a way. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
It's not, you know what? We're not being taken seriously. That's what it is.
Maybe that's what it is.
Because we're serious about this. It's not like we're just like, hey, we're going to fuck other people.
No, not at all. It's part of our identity and of who we are, of wanting to bring that kind of honesty and transparency to our relationship. It means a lot. It's part of our core values as a couple. And we're super picky about it. And that's what we're interested in. Like, he's welcome to ask questions or if he's curious about it. But in a respectful way.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is another one of those situations that the lifestyle brings up to you that, you know, in what other scenario would I be having to tell someone, like, look, my fiance is not interested in fucking you.
Right. It would be obvious. They would assume, like all our vanilla friends who don't know, they just obviously assume that. And so as we think about, it'd be so nice to be out to everybody and just not have to hide anything. In a lot of ways.
There are so many consequences.
There are so many consequences.
Because people just don't get it. And we start to get desensitized to the concepts.
Yes.
We start to really get comfortable with it.
Yeah.
The more we stay in it. but we realize how far ahead we're moving of other people who don't get it and who are in the lifestyle and who would never get it and who would be like, there must be something wrong with your relationship if this is happening.
Right.
Like, everything's right with our relationship. What's wrong with your relationship being monogamous? I mean, usually if there's something.
That you lie to each other about even just the dumbest stuff.
Right.
And how boring that is. I think I would be bored out of my mind in a monogamous relationship because of all the masking.
If you and I were still monogamous, I think we'd be fine. We'd be great. For several years.
Because we'd be choosing it.
We'd be choosing it. But I think ultimately most monogamous relationships, especially given our personalities, we would start to get frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, that we couldn't be honest with each other.
Yeah.
If you got jealous every time I talked about a woman, that would be, and that's most relationships, I would say most monogamous relationships, that you can't say I'm attracted to that woman. You can't even say it. And it's just such a limitation on the connection you have with your partner that you just can't be that honest. And
it's so unrealistic. And it doesn't mean that your relationship is flawed in some way. We're meant to be human connectors. We're meant to connect with other people. And just because it's somebody you have a romantic feeling towards or a sexual feeling towards doesn't make it any less. All of a sudden you're supposed to not have those exact connections. That seems ridiculous.
Yeah. We've talked a lot about parasocial monogamy in that way. And there's been so many books and research and podcasts on that topic that it's just clear to me.
Yeah.
It's clear that, at least for us, this is something that we cherish and we want to explore and we feel it's better for us.
Yeah.
It makes our relationship better, which also blows people's minds. How could that make your relationship better that you want other people? Like, it doesn't compute. But I think my original point was, we're so beyond that, but it's easy for us to slip because we think other people would be some, as you get more into it and you're into the lifestyle, you start to think other people would be cooler with it than they would be.
Oh, 100%. It's very threatening.
It is
to a lot of people. Cause then the other assumption is that, if we're open, then we're going to be after your spouse. I'm going to be after your husband. You're going to be
Available all of a sudden.
Wife. Yeah. Or then now the women don't want to hang out with me because they don't want me around their husband. Or the men don't want you around their wives. They get threatened by it, right? Because we're not following the rules of we are all supposed to stay in our relationship lane.
But
the issue is we don't want to fuck any of you vanilla people. We don't. That's not who we're after. We have our own community. Even with this single guy, right? We're like, okay, he's on Field, which is a swingers app. So we're hoping he has some experience with it so he understands it. But if he doesn't, it's probably not going to work out.
No, it definitely won't work out.
Because that's just a different, I'm not looking for another long-term partner.
Yeah. The other consequence is envy.
Yes.
Right? So I think my monogamous guy friends would probably be envious of my being able to stray with total hall passes.
Exactly.
Stray, I say in quotes. And there's also moral issues or clutch my pearls issues, or I just can't believe they would do that. And it's just, there's a lot of that in the regular society. It's just not acceptable right now.
Yeah.
Getting more acceptable for sure.
Yeah.
And the fact that I could tell this group of friends of mine means it's acceptable, at least to them. And I think younger people accept it more.
Definitely.
But in our cohort,
ooh,
no. And that's why we have to be vigilant about it. We'll get outed some way, somehow. Maybe somebody listening to this podcast knows who we are. Hit us up. Ask us questions. And
there was some town.
Yeah, there was some town where I know people. I'm like, someone's listening to a lot of our podcasts in this particular city.
Interesting. And we're like, but hopefully if you're out there, you're also in the lifestyle.
Yeah, because you're listening to this podcast.
So we'll all support each other. And we just feel strongly that it's up to you whether you out yourself or not. We would never out anybody. We don't talk about the people we've been with. I feel like it's really important to do that because you don't know where people are in their lives and how that would impact them. It's a highly personal decision.
But yeah, so I think being open to other people about what we're doing, we're open people.
Yeah.
But that's one area that we've had to close off. Unfortunately, I'd rather not. I would so much love for everyone to just know this about us.
I know.
So we could just be as open with them as we are with each other. And, and with our lifestyle friends.
And it would be great, like, if people were the optimal reaction, I feel like the ideal reaction would be curiosity, where they'd be like, wow, that's really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work? And obviously you have a great relationship. Tell me more about that. But I think it's really rare that you get that. It's just so, it seems so dangerous for most mainstream couples to even consider.
In fact, last night I was watching a Dateline story. Just happened to start watching, and they mentioned swingers in the beginning. No one knew that everyone in this town is a swinger, you know, or there's a lot of swingers in this town. And I was like, okay, so I got to watch this and see what this is about. And basically, they only use that word a few times to get people hooked into watching it. And it turns out that the murder happened because, of course, the husband was insanely jealous of what this woman was doing, and she was trying to break out, and she got into lifestyle stuff.
Yeah.
But that was it. It was just, there was not much to it. But using that word got more people to watch that show.
Definitely.
Because it's scintillating and titillating.
So salacious.
And so salacious, and it's so scandalous, and I think it's a good reminder that people just aren't. And the interview people were like, I just didn't know she was like that. I thought she was just a good mom. She was a good mom. She also liked to fuck other people.
I know. It's not mutually exclusive.
Yeah. Being a good person is not mutually exclusive to being in a lifestyle. That's, in fact, I would say it's almost the opposite.
And it doesn't mean you're having sex all the time. We literally have had one play date over the last, since April.
Yeah. So it's 2 a year.
Literally. Like, yeah,
for us at least.
Yeah. I mean, it's no different than going out. It's time that we would go out with other friends. We're just spending some of that time fucking them in addition to having dinner and talking about stupid shit. But when we actually go to dinner, we talk about really fun, deep, interesting shit instead of trying to compare whose life is more stressful or
more interesting, achieved or more, what trips they went on,
who had the fanciest trip.
Yeah,
or,
and that just bores the fuck out of me now. I just can't.
Same.
I just can't with that. I just can't. I think now we've worked ourselves so much out of those conversations unless we have to have them.
It drains me.
We were talking about that.
Yeah.
You have been around these people all your life. And so have I. Monogamous people and the general consensus.
And many of them are extremely good people.
Good people.
But they're following the rules, right?
They're following the rules. And some of the rules.
They're
getting hammered and driving and you're doing other stupid things that are way more dangerous.
Yeah.
But you've always been traditionally drained at those conversations. We'd go to a party and you'd be so tired by the end of the night.
Yeah.
And what we realized is that you were always on alert for these conversations with people to make sure that you're masking who you really were. You're saying the right thing. You're doing the right thing. And with our lifestyle friends, you haven't had to do that. And what I've noticed is that you've been much more energetic.
Yeah.
Much more yourself. Much more happy to have those conversations than you ever were in those conversations before.
I'm telling you, if you haven't been to a naked party, I highly recommend. There is no bullshit at a naked party. Like, you're not going to sit there with your clothes off
talking
about the weather.
Or that's a good point.
You're not. You're going to be real. You're going to be like, I had the fucking shittiest week. Or like, I was super jealous.
You talk about fun things and sexy things. And like, hilarious
things. The things that are actually going through your mind.
Yeah.
You're not having to suppress things or mask. And it's right. I remember us being in the car on the way home from one of these things. And I was like, this is crazy. I feel like I could go back there and go another 2 hours.
Yeah, which is very rare for you.
That is so rare.
And I think that's a part of your personality that was really putting up a front with those people for so long.
Which I never would have known if we hadn't done this. And this is why I'm just curious, because we don't even have one calendar year really officially in this lifestyle. Although we were mentally open. And I guess we did orgy jam.
But for 3 years we've been open-minded.
But like, we haven't really been on field, and we found our community here in our town and all that. And so I feel like we're at just the tip of the iceberg of what we are going to learn about ourselves through this. I really do feel it's a vehicle for growth. And I'm not saying that to justify crazy behavior, because we don't do crazy behavior, but we just, it is such
a little bit.
It's just such a totally different paradigm and way of seeing the world that it just forces you to think differently about so many things in your life. And that's how I want to live the rest of my life. I want to live authentically and in integrity with myself and with you. I want to have the biggest, hottest love affair with you for the rest of my life.
Yes. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love it. So anyway, let us know. I'd love to hear from you guys if y'all are out. If you're not, like, why you decided not to be out, if you decided to be out, why you felt it was safe, and how that went. Email us those stories. We'd love to read some of those on air. I think that's super helpful. I know it would help us to hear from some of you guys. And What else?
I think that's it.
Yeah.
For tonight.
All right.
Send us stories. Send us your questions, please.
And we'll let you know what happens on this date. Now I have to go. Because we have to have an episode about it.
Yes, and I am excited to see what happens with this.
Be fascinating. And we'll let you
see what happens five iterations of it down the road.
Oh my God.
Next podcast, you've run off with this new guy.
No, he's going to ghost me because I talked about you too much.
Okay, those are the two odds. I know, the two paths right there.
Honestly.
You run off with this new man, or he ghosts you because he talked too much.
I know. It's so true.
All right.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
See you next time.